Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
For the great and for the mighty things that he has done, we would like to welcome you to the Hour of Power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is now on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And immediately after, we will have an awesome time as we preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that will save our soul. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great and mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. This morning, we thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. And for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. At this time, we are going to give you a word from God, a word that has no price, a word that will cause a life-changing experience in your life, a word that will cause you to lighten up, a word that will cause healing to be manifested in your body, a word that will cause the illumination of the Word of God to be manifested in your mind, soul, and spirit. Well, we're kind of going to be coming from the Word that has been endured from the very beginning of the Word. We're going to talk about the Alpha and Omega, the one who is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. We're going to be coming from the Word of God on today and every day here on the Hour of Power broadcast. Well, let's look at Luke, the 15th chapter. The Word of God reads in the 4 through the 6th verse, it reads, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he layeth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Here in this, we see a power that God is speaking to us. He's speaking to the people. He's letting them know in a parable about a man who had sheep. He had 100 sheep. And when one had strayed away, he left the 99, because the 99 was not lost. But there was a sheep that belonged to him, that was so precious to him, that was lost, could not find the way, had strayed away. So therefore, he went after that one sheep. And when I look at the word of God, that is so precious to me. It should be so precious to the world, because the word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have." Going to bring us into our message on this morning. And taken from that same chapter, the 15th chapter of Luke, beginning at that 11th verse, and it reads, "And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." He divided not only the one that had asked for his portion, but he divided that which divided to the both of them, because both of them was his son. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, everything that he could carry, everything that he had. He decided that I'm going to take a journey. He took a journey into a far country. And when he had taken the journey into the far country, this young man, he wasted his substance. He wasted everything that his father had worked for. The father had provided for him, the inheritance that his father had for him. He wasted in riotous living, in living that he thought that he was having a good time, in living that he had many, many friends as long as he had much money. But when he had wasted it, he had no money left. That left him in poverty. That left him alone. That left him with no friends. That left him with no place to stay. That left him that nobody really invited him to stay with them. He was on his own because he had to have a good time. He had to go to see what the world was all about. So all that his dad had given him, all that the father had given to him, he wasted in riotous living. And when he had spent all, everything that he had, he spent all. And there rose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. It was a famine. He was in a famine because he didn't have any money. It was in a famine because the land was experiencing a famine. And the word tells us that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the field to feed swine. Oh, I can imagine him thinking of all the comfort that he had. I could imagine him getting up in the morning, looking at his father and looking at his brother and looking at the servant, looking at the house that he stayed in, looking at all the things that he was blessed with. But yet, he wasn't thankful. He wasn't grateful. He didn't have an attitude of gratitude. So therefore, he had to go and he had to see what it was all about in the world. And when he had no money, when the famine came, he had to take a job. He had to take a job in the field. In that field was to feed swine. And the word tells us, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. No man gave to him. They didn't have compassion. They didn't have mercy upon him because he did not appeal to them. Every man was trying to make it for themselves, because after all, it was a famine. And this young man, he was all alone in a far country with nothing. There he found himself having to feed the pigs, and he was so hungry until he was at the point of eating the food that was fed to the pigs. It wasn't the pork chop. It wasn't the roast beef. It wasn't that steak that his dad had that the servants prepared for him. when they ate at night, it wasn't that food that all he had to do is come and sit at the table, and most likely he didn't even have to prepare it for himself because they had servants to prepare the meal for them, to wash their clothes, to do all of these things for him. Oh, how ungrateful we can be at times when we don't appreciate the goodness and the righteousness of God. So we see this man, he was at a point in his life that he knew that he was in trouble. And the word tells us in that 17th verse, and when he came to himself, when he came to himself, sometimes we got to come to ourselves when we're in trouble, when we have come to the point we're in that we know that we cannot make it by ourselves, when we know that we have not stayed in the protection of God, when we have strayed away from him, we have to come to ourselves. Only a fool will not come to himself when they know that there is a key, when they know that there is an answer, when they know that there is a way out. No matter how dark and complex it may seem to be, but yet when you know that there is a way of escape, when you know that you don't have to continually to be in the state of mind, to be in the condition that you're in, it is the best thing that we come to ourselves. So the young man, he began to come to himself, and he said, how many? He began to think, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough with hunger? He was hungry. He was hungry. He had nothing to eat. He had nothing to eat. And he thought about the servants of his father, how the servants had bread enough to eat and to spare, even the servants. But he was there, hungry, living in a life that he never dreamed that he would have to live. And the wise stuff in this life today, we got to be wise in what we do and what we say. Even when this man, he decided, I will rise, I will arise, and I will go to my father. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I know that you made me. I know that I came through my mother's womb. I know that I am your son. I know that you love me. But I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, make me as one of thy high servants. He knew that his servants lived very well and that they didn't have, they wasn't at the point where he was in despair without food out in the land that he was in. It was a famine and nobody gave to him. So he thought about what he was going to say to his father. And the young man arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Why? His dad seen him. I'm quite sure, I believe within my heart, that this father, although he had given him all the money that belonged, all his inheritance, his father didn't give up on. The word of God tells us that the father sees the son coming. The Father, seeing that his Son had made his way back home, the Father, seeing that the Son was returning home. Oh, he wasn't ready to bash him. He wasn't there to put him down. He wasn't there to let him to say that I told you so. He wasn't there, and it wasn't a time to tell him that you are a slothful son. And now that you have spent all of your money rivalrous living, here you coming home to me. No, he didn't tell him that. What he did was when he seen his son, he had compassion on him. He had compassion. That's what we have to do, to have compassion on people and not be so quick to put people down, whether it's your family, your friends, your associates, those people that you are around every day, those people that you don't even know. We have to have compassion. I know that the boy belonged to, and that was a boy's father, and he had great compassion. But look, even what they did to him while he was out there in the world didn't want him after he had nothing to offer. The world didn't even want him. But the father had compassion, and the father ran, and he fell on his neck. Oh, I can imagine. Can you not imagine? Can you not visualize what this boy was, what was happening to the father and the son at this time? How he had compassion, how the father ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed his son. And the son said unto his father, he said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. In other words, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. But he said that I'm no more worthy. He said, I've sinned against God, and I sinned in your sight. Dad, whatever you thought of me before, whatever you thought of me before, and I have gone out and I've done horrible things, and I've lived in the world, and I found out what the world was all about. Because after my money was gone, my friends, my associate was gone. But here am I. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But look what the Father said. Look what God said. Could you imagine what God is saying? Could you imagine what the father, the earthly father, saying to his son? He said to his servant, he told his servant, he said, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring, come on, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat, Mary. I know what you've done. The father knew what his son had done, where he'd been. He could see the end results of him. Most likely, he had probably lost a lot of weight because he had nothing to eat. Clothes wasn't the same clothes and nice clothes and nice shoes that he had when he left. He could see by just looking at him that he had been through a lot. Come on. We don't push people down when they've gone through a lot. We're not supposed to bash them and put them down. Oh, but we're supposed to lift them up. Come on. Well, the father told the servant, he called the servant, and he told the servant to bring not just a robe, but he said to bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. That's bringing identity that this is my son. No matter what he's done, no matter where he's been, No matter how foolish he was, this is my son, and I love him. So bring me those things and put it on him. Bring those things and put it upon my son. And then he not only did that, but he told them to bring the fattest calf. And they wanted them to kill the calf so that they could eat and be merry. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time to rejoice because that son returned home. He said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, they began to celebrate. Oh, it's time to celebrate when the lost come to Christ Jesus. Oh, it's time to celebrate when the backslider come back to Jesus. The word of God said, whosoever will, let him come. And I just believe that the reason why the word of God says that the reason Christ died for us, that we could be saved and that we could have eternal life and that we could forever live with him, the Father, how much more if a earthly father will treat his son in the manner that he was treated? How much more will our Heavenly Father treat us if we could just come back to him, to come to ourselves? The young man had to come to himself. He had to move away the pride. He had to forget about what they were going to say about him. All he wanted to do is get back to Jesus. I'm telling you today, somebody ought to get back to Jesus. Forget about what everybody may say about what you did or what the lifestyle that you live. Forget about you not having been born again. But today is a day that you can be born again. Oh, like Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of St. John, he told Nicodemus that ye must be born again. And I'm telling you today that even as God, God told Nicodemus that, even as the Father had compassion upon his son and received him, Christ want to receive you on today. We're getting ready to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, even as you have spoken through this word today, I pray even now, God, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, that there be billions or millions of people that will be saved on this day, that lives will be changed like never before, that people will come to themselves, that God, that they get tired of living the same old day after day. God, that they'll realize, God, that you are God and that you're God all by yourself. God, that they'll realize that you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. And God, you have all power in your hand. Even as the Father had power to bless and have compassion upon this young man and to give him what he thought that he needed. And he gave him even more than he needed. He didn't just have compassion on him. He didn't just kiss him. But he told the servant to bring the best robe. Father, I thank you, Lord God, because God, only you want the best for your people. And God, you want to give them the best. You want to give them life, eternity. For your word says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, God, you said that we shall be saved. And Father, today we pray that there be billions that will be saved. There will be millions that will be saved today. God, that lives will be changed today. For your word says that we know not the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But Lord, I pray that there will be a change in the lives of the people on today. In Jesus' name, Father, those that are sick, those that have infirmity in their body, I send the word of healing to them, to their mind, to their soul, and to their spirit. And this we thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please tune in to our next Hour of Power. Tune in that you will know and experience the power of the Most High God. May God bless you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and in your coming out. Make it a God-blessed day.